Okay, here we go. Part two, shattering the distortion, and then we begin the journey towards being more us. Oh, that's interesting. Not less us, more us.
Welcome to Consciously, a podcast focused on honest conversations for regular people seeking spiritual growth. Here's our host, Menachem Poznanski.
Hey, Consciously family, welcome back. Okay, so jumping back in to our discussion of shattering distortions and freeing ourselves from what has us trapped and how that relates to the holiday of Pesach, the Avodah, the work of the time period of Sfiras HaOmer, the receiving of the Torah and how that correlates to spiritual recovery and trying to become the best version of us as we see it. That's the topic that we're on. Today we're going to talk about the journey from being an Eved to Pharaoh, an Eved to external forces, to being an Ovid, which is the journey kind of in between and how that correlates and what that looks like. We'll get there in a second. First, I want to thank you for joining the Consciously podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Give us favors and subscribe. Give us 5 stars and a review. Most importantly, refer us to your friends. You know, if you like what we're talking about on the episode, if you feel like it'll speak to someone that you love, share it with them, I guess. I'm sharing with you, so share with them. It's a good thing. Also, check us out on Instagram and on Facebook if you like those kind of things, at The Light Revealed. Most importantly, on our website, thelightrevealed.org. There's a wonderful weekly newsletter that comes out by email that has Joy Rosenfeld's weekly new write-up and also a description of all the episodes from this week, including mine, Joey's, Reben's, all the other kind of things that we're trying to do, keeps you informed. There is a link in the episode description, also a link to an email if you want to reach out and connect to us and also some other stuff. Okay, so last week we started to talk about kind of deviation away from the trauma series that we did, which, you know, I'm grateful for that. Actually met a few people at a wedding this week, and I got some really nice feedback, and I really valued that and appreciated that. But kind of focusing in on some perspectives that relate and correlate to the themes that surround the holiday of Pesach that's coming up, the holiday of Passover that's coming up, which is a holiday of redemption. Recording this on the second day of Nisan. Nisan is known as the Chodesh HaGa'ula, the day of the month of redemption. Really, from the first day of Nisan, we begin our journey towards Pesach, culminating ultimately in the first day of Pesach and then in the seventh day of Pesach, and then that is followed by the ritual of Sfirat HaOmer, where we count the Omer. We'll talk about that today, but really all of it is themed upon the idea of emerging out of a space of avdus, of slavery, towards a place of chairus, of freedom, which is odd because we go from being avde paro, from being the servants of Pharaoh, to being avde Hashem, the servants of God. Or I should perhaps say, if I wanted to translate more accurately, from being the slaves of Pharaoh to being the servants of God. And that has to do with the separation between being, let's say, the slave of a lower baser instinct or perhaps an addiction towards being the servant of a higher good, which is the journey of most people in some context of recovery, you know, or really, I mean, any type of, whether it's from addiction or mental health, you know, anything that's got us down, you know, we become a slave to our feelings, our emotions, our dysregulations, our impulses, our habits. And the journey of recovery is a process by which we disengage from the distortion that tells us that we have to serve this foreign entity, this externalized entity, and that we're trapped in this place. And we start to taste the freedom of living a life of meaning and purpose, which often includes helping others and sharing what we found, et cetera, et cetera. So in our exploration of, at least from a Jewish perspective, from a Hebrew perspective, what avdus is and how that correlates to the inner world of our own inner lives, We were talking about specifically, and this relates to the title of today's episode, to the terms eved, which is a servant, but can also be translated as slave in certain contexts, and oved. And there's a passage in the prophets that says, "Vareisa bein tzadik l'rasha bein oved elokim la'asher lo avdo," which translates in English, and you will see at that time between, it will be seen the separation between a tzaddik and a rasha, a righteous person and a wicked person, bein oved elokim, to one who served, between one who serves God to one who does not serve, who's not an oved. And the question that we kind of touched on that's really going to become very, very critical today, we touched on this in the last episode, so a little bit of repetition or review. The question that's posed by the Baal HaTanya is, the passage seems, the Navi seems to be repeating himself, because you would think that a tzaddik and a rasha is the same thing as an oved elokim and asher lo avdo, right? Meaning a tzaddik would be someone who serves God, and a rasha, a wicked person, is someone who doesn't serve God. But then the prophet would be repeating himself. So what's the implication of the whole thing? And what the Baal HaTanya teases out, his thesis, is that in fact, there's four categories that the Torah is talking about, that the Navi is talking about over there. The first category is obvious, so a righteous person, which is called an eved, a servant of God, meaning because he's in a state of avdus, he's in an actualized state of living his life as his most manifest self, as a servant of God's original intention, meaning God intended for the world to be created in an effort to allow free-willed beings to manifest his goodness and light externally of their own free will, which then gave expression to his most essential self in the lowest realms. That's a tzaddik. He's achieved that place of being an eved, of being a true servant. Then you have a rasha, someone who's fallen away from that path, whose life has taken them away. Anyone who's familiar with the teachings of Tanya, a rasha is not the way that many of us probably were exposed to the word rasha, because we call it an utterly wicked person a rasha. But a rasha in Svarim HaKadoshim, particularly in Tanya, in the lexicon of Tanya, really can also refer to somebody who's fallen away from a path of living according to their own ideals, living according to the ideals that they feel that God wants for them, someone who's trapped in a cycle of unholiness and a cycle of living opposite their ideals. So that's the tzaddik and the rasha. The oved, the Baal HaTanya explains, is actually referring to a beinoni, which is a regular person who's on the journey towards the revelation of his truest self. And therefore, he's not called an eved, which is like a status. He's not established. He's not there, but rather as an oved, one who's actively practicing, one who's actively on the journey towards that. And an oved would not be a wicked person, but rather somebody who has arrested their development toward revealing his or her truest self. For example, someone who's resting on their laurels or resigning themselves to their current place of growth and not working on themselves. And that's why the Navi makes that distinction between the tzaddik and the rasha, between the person who has achieved spiritual actualization, someone who has not, someone who's actively practicing, trying to become the person that they're meant to be, and then someone who's not actively working on themselves, not pushing the limits. And that the whole context of what the Baal HaTanya presents, the whole context of an oved is one who's pushing the limits. He's on, so to speak, the wagon. He's on the wagon of the Baal Shem Tov. He's on the journey towards becoming who he is meant to be. And what we described is that the journey of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of being relieved of the constriction that our true self finds itself in when we are enslaved to an external force, is really a three-part process. The first is identifying and shattering the distortion that we find ourselves in, that we addressed in the first episode. And that's where we realize that we don't deserve, that we're not actually an eved of Paro, of Pharaoh, and that even though we're living in that way, but it's a distortion, and we want to free ourselves from that. Then one has the journey of the oved, right? And that first part corresponds to the spiritual themes of the first night of Pesach, all the way through the seventh night, which is a process of shattering our attachments, our emotional attachments to those things that have us down. Then you have the journey of the oved, the journey of where we're trying to practice spiritual principles to becoming a truer and truer version of ourselves. And that correlates to the ritual, to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, of counting the Omer and the spiritual implications of that, which we'll talk a little bit about later in this episode, but we touched on in our past series on Sfiras HaOmer. And you can also check out our Sfiras HaOmer booklet that we're going to be putting out in the next few days, God willing, which will be available via PDF. If you want to print it out, and it goes through each day of Sfiras HaOmer, of the counting of the Omer that starts on the second day of Pesach and runs all the way through right before Shavuos, corresponds to a different aspect of our fundamental personality. And the process of Sfiras HaOmer is not only a ritual of counting the days, but actually trying to work on the different facets of our character to try to become a truer and truer version of ourselves, all towards the theme of Shavuos, which is receiving the Torah, which is the process of becoming an Eved, right? So the goal is to become an Eved, even though that seems very far for many of us, an Eved, because we just described an Eved as a tzaddik. But as we'll talk about in the next episode, it's really not. So is the passage that that Moses says in Deuteronomy and Devarim. For the matter is very close to you. It's not so far from you. It seems very far. But the life of a tzaddik, or at least experiencing moments of being a tzaddik, or even more importantly, revealing aspects of yourself that are a tzaddik, because each one of us has different areas where we are a true expression of God's light, areas where we're working towards that expression, and areas maybe where we could really be doing more work, right? So that process of revealing that part of us that's a tzaddik, that's an eved, comes about, is celebrated on Shavuos, where we talk about receiving the Torah, which is our spiritual heritage of the path of Torah that God has placed before us, and then even in some ways more importantly, the path of mitzvos, Torah and mitzvos, learning Torah, fulfilling mitzvos, where we have the privilege and opportunity to literally manifest true divinity in an actualized state in a lower material world. So the question becomes, what is this journey of the Ovad? How can we walk it more essentially? In many ways, this episode, this journey, this aspect of the journey of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the part that most of us spend most of our time and most of ourselves on, meaning we oftentimes come to a place where we realize that we're a slave to a foreign force, a constricting force that's holding us back from being our truest selves. And we wake up and we want to do something about it. Some people spend a lot of time there, and that's related. You know, some people get stuck kind of in patterns, but for the most part, people tend to, once they identify that, to get out of it. And, you know, we try to manifest our truest self in different areas of our lives, and all of us to different degrees. But where we spend most of our time for most of us is in the process of the Ovad, of trying to practice the journey of trying to become more and more our truest self, more and more a truer reflection of God's original intention for us, for being who we are. Like God had a dream, so to speak, a vision of who we would be. And that's what our lives are. God is telling the story of our lives. These are all themes that we've talked about in the past. So what is the journey of the Ovad, and how does that correlate to Sfiras HaOmer? So the Alter Rebbe, just the Baal Tanya, describes something very, very interesting about the Ovad. He describes that the journey of the Ovad is a process of stretching oneself, but not too much, and yet just enough. The Baal Tanya describes that one of the mistakes that people make in their spiritual development is that they push too far, or they don't push far enough, and that the key to a true spiritual development is where a person is constantly pushing themselves, in the example that the Alter Rebbe literally used, 1% beyond their comfort zone. Right? And this is based on a teaching from a Gemara that describes that in the days of the Gemara, they would learn each passage that they were studying 100 times. That was one level, but then if a person was truly serious, he would learn it 101 times. And the Baal Tanya quotes another Gemara that discusses the difference between someone who's renting out a camel that's used to a donkey that's used to carrying a load for 10 miles, and then he's asked to carry a load for 11 miles. So what you would pay the donkey owner for carrying the package for 10 miles would be one thing. The 11th mile would be much more, because when you try to take something and stretch it, even a small amount beyond their limits, it actually, that is what has the most significant effect. And the Baal HaTanya reveals that this is the essential process of the Beinoni. It's the essential process of spiritual development for people. And this is a very, very important lesson, I think, for all of us to internalize, that if we want to have the kind of growth that we're looking for in terms of not just having moments of spiritual elation or spiritual experience, but rather concrete spiritual development where we're stripping away layers towards becoming our truest self, it's really a process of revealing ourselves just a little bit more, pushing ourselves just a little bit beyond the boundaries of self, stretching the muscles, as anyone knows that's into physical fitness, right? It's the same process. First, you practice movements when you're exercising, and then you add a little bit more weight, and then a little bit more weight, and then a little bit more weight, constantly stretching the muscles, tearing the muscles, and then rebuilding them to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And just like that works, mi basari echaza aloka, from my own flesh, I can see how spirituality works and how who God is, right? So our bodies are a reflection of spiritual reality. The same thing is true. The process of spiritual growth is a process of constantly stretching, tearing those spiritual muscles and stretching ourselves to become more and more reflective of our journey. So the question is, like, practically, what does that look like? How does one do that? What is the process of stretching oneself? So in the lens of Chassidus, in the lens of Pnimiyas HaTorah, there's kind of these like two fundamental types of avodas, types of spiritual work, and they correlate to two types of stretching that we do when we're trying to stretch like that 1% more, stretch just a little bit more. One is called ishafcha, and one is called iskafia. Now, just a clarification, ishafcha and iskafia mean something very, very specific. And normally, ishafcha, in its most essential, ishafcha means to transform, is that's more related to the avoda of the tzaddik, where the tzaddik takes something that's material, right, and transforms it to spiritual, right? This is very much correlated to the avoda, to the work of Shabbos, where we enjoy ourselves, we have lots of food, and we take naps, and we relax half the day for God, half the day for ourselves. Physical enjoyment is essentially part of it, because the whole idea there is to transform the physical enjoyment to the spirit. That's one path, is hafcha. And iskafia is more of a path of the Beinoni, of a regular person. Iskafia is where we're trying to reduce the power of foreign forces, of negative forces in our lives. And in some ways, we're kind of white-knuckling, so to speak, our way through. Maybe we'll talk about the separation here of that term, white-knuckling, from what we're talking about. But we're kind of like pushing ourselves beyond our limits, holding ourselves back, trying to constrict the impulses within us that are trying to take us away from where we're meant to be. And that's correlated to the work that we do in the 6 days of the week, where we don't necessarily indulge as much as we would on Shabbos. But in the frame of what we're talking about, because that's this idea of iskafia and ishafcha, of withholding and transforming, right? Those two paths are very much correlated to how the Baal HaTanya describes the path of the Ovad, the stretch of the Ovad. So ishafcha correlates to this idea of stretching 1%. And that is a process by where we nudge ourselves closer and closer to revealing our truest self. And that process is really where we stretch the limits of our spiritual muscles, right? So for example, if we work on ourselves and we're able to, I don't know, whatever a person is working on themselves, to hold back from doing something for 10 minutes, instead of trying to hold back for 20 minutes, make it 11 minutes and 12 minutes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or if we find that we can place focus, we can spend an hour a day, let's say, to use a very kind of, I guess, somewhat benign, but obviously very serious from a spiritual perspective, spend an hour a day, which is a common suggestion giving for that hour. Don't speak Lashon Hara, don't speak, you know, slander and negative, don't use negative words for an hour a day. Once we achieve doing it for an hour a day, so then the next step is to do it for an hour and 5 minutes a day, right? To constantly be kind of stretching our boundaries, to make more and more of our day filled with spirituality. If a person's, let's say, working on a meditation, right? So first they want to perfect and try to meditate for 3 minutes. right? And then meditate for 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and then maybe 4 minutes, and then maybe 5 minutes, and 6 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. There's always going to be a place where a person stretches themselves where they need to be, and maybe the stretch starts to look differently. So for example, someone could, let's say, do 5 minutes of meditation and then add on another form of spiritual practice. Maybe it's not about going from 5 minutes of meditation to 25 minutes of meditation, right? Might be 5 minutes of meditation, then also adding a spiritual reading at the beginning of the day or a gratitude list, right? So, or you could start with, let's say, you want to start with a practice of gratitude, start with writing three pieces of gratitude, and then four, and then five, and then six. The point of this is hafcha, is where we're slowly transforming our comfort zone. And our comfort zone is really is bringing to bear or bringing into reality our most comfortable self in line with our most essential self, our potential, right? The goal of Ishafcha in this work is to try to stretch the boundaries of what feels good, what feels comfortable, and bring that in line with what's truly reflective of ourselves. So that's a way in which we're stretching, and that correlates to this 1% idea. The idea of Iskafia is really correlated to Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh is the idea of Mesiras Nefesh. Obviously, from a Jewish perspective, Mesiras Nefesh most essentially refers to when a person gives up their life for something that's important. Let's say, God forbid, they're threatened, if you don't bow down to this idol, we're going to kill you, you know, and then the person gives up their life for the sake of heaven. That's like Mesiras Nefesh in its most manifest form. But Mesiras Nefesh, as it relates to the moment-to-moment, day-to-day journey of life, has to do with giving up what comes most natural to me in order to do what I know to be most true, right? So there, that's where a person is not trying to get comfortable with the work that they're doing, but rather kind of forcing themselves, right? They're not trying to, they don't even expect ever to get comfortable, kind of forcing themselves to do something that they know is right, but they feel is not right. And that's the avoda, that's the work, that's the spiritual effort of Iskafia. So the essential process of the ovad is stretching oneself, stretching the limits of ourselves, small amounts at a time, and holding the tension tight so that the stretch sticks and becomes real, right? So there's these two. That's how the Ishafcha and the Iskafia kind of works, right? Whereas the Ishafcha is a process by which someone is stretching themselves, small amounts, and the Iskafia is where we're kind of holding the tension tight so that the stretch sticks and it becomes more concretized. And that's really the separation. If for those who are familiar with the term white knuckling, which is kind of like a pejorative, negative term in recovery, where because it's doesn't work long term. Well, let's say someone makes a commitment not to drink, right? So let's say they're what's called a dry drunk, right? So they're white knuckling their way through. That person, all they want to do is drink, but they're stopping usually because of some kind of external pressure or the fear of some kind of consequence. And really, they're just waiting for waiting for the right time where the consequences won't be real or the pressure is too much, where they have no choice but to drink. And obviously, in that example, but obviously that's not a good long-term solution, because eventually the right excuse will come along or the pressure will be removed and they'll just return to their behavior. The difference over here is not that we're necessarily kind of white-knuckling it, holding ourselves back away from what we want, but rather that we're enhancing our comfort zone little by little, and then also acting against what feels right for what we know to be right. And when we do that, we begin to really stretch ourselves and to become more and more a reflection of our truer self. Now, this idea very much correlates to Sefiras HaOmer, if we think about it, because as we know, in Sefiras HaOmer is a process of counting days and weeks. When we make the blessing of Sefiras HaOmer and then count the days, we count, today is the 35th day, right? Which is the seventh day of the 7 weeks, right? It's 7 days and 5 weeks of the Omer. That's how a person would count that, right? Sorry. Math is not my strong point. Or let's say on the seventh day, they would say, today is the seventh day of the Omer. We're counting 1 week and 7 days of the Omer. So we always count weeks and days. So in this frame, weeks really corresponds to ishafcha, and days really corresponds to iskafia. And I'm going to elaborate a little more as we go through a little bit. Sorry, I don't want to go too long, but elaborate a little bit more. But weeks is where, right, because each of the 7 weeks is made up of days. So each day for the whole week, I'm stretching myself just little days at a time in this particular area, right? This one aspect of the overall sphera. And then days is this kafia where I'm just trying to get through this particular day as it correlates to the particular midah of that day. Now, let's review, because maybe some of you that are listening are not necessarily aware of how this works and the correlation to our character. There are 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer that goes from the second day of Passover until a couple days before Shavuot, when we receive the Torah. And each week of Sfiras HaOmer, the holy books tell us, corresponds to one of the fundamental midos, one of the fundamental traits of a person. Pnimius HaTorah, the inner wisdom of Torah, reveals that there are 7 fundamental traits: Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and Malchus. We will talk about this in the future. Please listen in at least each week. If you go back, if you want more information, you can go back. There's a previous series. You can find that on the website. It's all cataloged there, right, where we went through some of this, but we'll definitely go through it in some way again, different than what we did in the past. But there are 7 fundamental traits: kindness, severity, beauty or truth, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus. So each of the weeks of Sfiras HaOmer correspond to one of the fundamental midos, meaning that week we are working on that midah. So the first midah is Chesed, which is kindness and love. So the first week of Sfiras HaOmer, we're meant to be working on our capacity for kindness, love, and giving, right? The second week is the week of Gvura, which is the week of severity, which has to do with setting limits and boundaries, withholding, so to speak, love for the good of the receiver so that they can receive the love in a way that's good for them, right? So that's Gvura. So in the second week, we're meant to be working on their character traits that correspond to Gvura. Now, just as each of the 7 weeks is made up Just as each of the 7 weeks is made up of 7 days, each of the midos are actually, this is from HaKadosh and the holy books teach us, are each of the midos are composed of 7 corresponding parts that are all facets of all the midos as they are expressed within themselves, right? So I'll explain, right? So chesed, for example, kindness and love, has an aspect called chesed shebechesed. And like I said, we'll talk about this more, elaborate more, if you look in our sphere booklet that we're going to put out on the newsletter, it elaborates on this also. But just for today's discussion, there's within chesed, there's something called chesed shebechesed, and then gvura shebechesed, and then Tiferes Shebechesed. So Chesed Shebechesed is like kindness for the sake of kindness. It's just being kind for the sake of being kind without any thought at all. And Chesed Shebegvura, Gvura Shebechesed is where a person withholds, but really only withholds from a place of loving, right? And that's different than Chesed Shebegvura, right? So each of these kind of components is made up of each other so that each of the days of Sfiras HaOmer, right, there's 7 weeks, 7 days of each week, there's 49 days that we count in Sfiras HaOmer, corresponds to one of these subcategories of primary traits, right? So essentially, Sfiras HaOmer, aside from the mitzvah of counting, but the mitzvah of counting, it's not aside from, because the mitzvah of counting is the spiritual, metaphysical, supra rational expression of God's will, of how we kind of draw divine light into that process. But then paralleled with that throughout the day, we're meant to kind of like think about that in our prayers, right? So Sfiras HaOmer is a 49-day program of focusing at least in some small way on every facet of our personality in order to prepare ourselves for the transformation of redemption, a spiritual awakening, you might say, to open the door for carrying a message and practicing principles as a way of life, as we discussed in the last series at the very end, which is an expression of spirituality towards ultimately receiving the Torah. The whole idea of Sfiras Omer is to draw in spiritual light to this process, right? And in order to do that, we make a bracha, we make a blessing, we count the day, we acknowledge the day, and then we say a separate prayer correlated to Pnimius HaTorah, to Kabbalah, that relates to these ideas of these whichever midah is reflected in that day. Now, if we think about this, that entire process, this two steps of weeks and days, parallels the two steps of the Ovad's transformation from being an Eved to Paro, from being an Eved to a foreign source, to being an Eved of God, from being a slave to Pharaoh, to being a servant of God's will, right? That process by which a person becomes their more truer self. Days corresponding to whatever I'm working on right now, which is that process of iskafia, which is like I'm just holding myself, I'm just focused on this particular aspect of Amidah, and then weeks where I'm kind of working on an overall theme, and I'm working on it one little bit at a time, one seventh at a time. So in the frame of days, each day is its own process, where we're returning to each Midah for that day to do our best one day at a time. And in the frame of weeks, we're working on an overarching Midah, teasing out different facets and components of that Midah for that week, trying to nudge ourselves one small step at a time, teasing out a truer reflection of ourselves, always upping the ante towards being our truer, our most true self. And at the end of that process, we aren't necessarily expected to be fully an Eved of God, a truest reflection of God's will for us, but rather that we've done our best to welcome our higher power in and have readied ourselves for the spiritual awakening of Har Sinai, the revelation of the Torah. So this is the second process of the Ovad, and this is really the journey of the Ovad, and that's what reflects in the spirituality of Pesach, the spirituality of redemption that Judaism talks about. When a person finds themselves, again, that three-part process, a person finds themselves trapped in something that seems foreign, like, I don't deserve to live this way. The first process is to shatter that, right? Which we talked about how that correlated to steps 1, 2, and 3 in the 12 steps, actually, very effectively, where the first process is admission, the second process is a sense of hope that things can get better, and the third is a willingness to take whatever power is within my ability and to take actionable steps towards becoming my truest self, or at least the decision to do that. The next part of the process is the process of Sfiras HaOmer, and this correlates essentially to steps, if you want to connect it to the 12 steps, to steps 4 through 9, where a person begins the process of identifying the different facets of their self and where those different facets have fallen from their truest self, and trying to make themselves ready to be an expression of their truest self, right? And that very much is reflected in the process of the inventory of step 4 and the letting somebody else into that inventory for feedback in step 5, and the journey of 6 and 7, step 6 and 7, where a person becomes willing to become their most perfect self that they're capable of, that God wants for them. And then the process of rectifying the wrongs to remove shame and guilt from my past actions, and then practicing a daily process of admitting when we're wrong. All of that is based around, I mean, all of the steps 4 through 9 building up toward step 10, where the person is trying on a day-to-day basis to A, to act according to their convictions, to act in a path of truth, right? And some of that is correlated to step 11, where we're envisioning what a more true life is, right? But also, when they're wrong, in that moment, to admit that, to stretch themselves by admitting when they're wrong, and then to journey towards being their truer self. And this is all reflected, essentially, in the journey of Sfiras HaOmer. In that process, God knows, and this is why, going back to what we had said before, Kikar ve'lecha davar ma'od b'ficha u'b'levav chala asoso, we'll talk about why that's true even beyond this, on a metaphysical level, with the receiving of the Torah, but even more so that God understands that God doesn't expect more from us than we can do, and God doesn't expect us to wake up one day and to be perfect, but rather the journey of redemption is a process of identifying the distortion, shattering the distortion, and then beginning the journey of the Ovid towards being our truest self. So here we go, we're on our way, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on our way to Pesach. All these thoughts are kind of what we're hopefully thinking about, kind of readying ourselves for Pesach, for receiving that light and beginning the journey towards being ourselves more and more and more. Have an awesome day.
Thank you for joining the Consciously family. Consciously is brought to you by The Light Revealed, a social media publisher bringing messages of Jewish spirituality and recovery to whoever is looking for them. Consciously is made possible by the kindness of the Capellius family in memory of Tzipporah Bas Ravaram. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can give us a review and subscribe wherever else you get your podcasts. We love connecting with you, so please check out our website, thelightrevealed.org. Feel free to email us at thelightrevealed@tlrfamily.org. Our producer is Morty Schwartz. Our social media content team is Zoe Poznanski and Tehilo Nassanian. The assistant to the regional co-host is Shmaya Honickman, and our music is by Eitan Katz featuring Zusha. Thank you for joining, and we wish you the most blessed day in only revealed ways.